Welcome to the Orange Pill Order, an education first podcast exploring Bitcoin incentives and long-term thinking. We collectively run a business, we save in Bitcoin and spend a lot of time thinking about how systems compound or decay over time.
This show exists to examine where money, health, and energy intersect and what happens when those systems fall out of alignment. We believe that time is the most valuable resource. Bitcoin preserves it economically, while biology preserves it physically.
And without both, nothing really compounds. And that brings us to today's conversation and our guests. So today we have Dr. Jack Cruz. So for listeners who may be new to your work, could you introduce yourself in your own words, please?
Yeah, my name is Jack Cruz. I'm a board certified neurosurgeon in the United States. I became a Bitcoiner over a decade ago. Because I became a Bitcoiner over a decade ago, I became with.
Yeah.
in terms of centralized medicine, in fact, this is pretty topical for you guys because you're from the UK. A gentleman who's a doctor in the UK just lost his license and got put on the DBS list. His name is David Cortland. And, you know, I was talking to, you know, your mom today about this very issue.
Yeah.
And the sad part of the story is because he spoke out on behalf of the people about things that went on with tyranny related to, you know, the medical treatment of the COVID era, especially in your country.
Yeah.
That's why he lost his license. But he had no Bitcoin to back himself up. And the difference between, I would say, Dr. Cortland and myself, is that I was wise enough to do this early on. Why? Because, as you guys know, as young people in Bitcoin, that if you have freedom in your money, it allows you to have freedom in many other aspects you like. Like you said before, you can compound it in very different ways. And what I was able to do is compound it in centralized medicine. So effectively, I was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde within the system, because within the centralized system, I was really decentralized Uncle Jack.
Yeah,
I was able to help people through the 5 years of COVID to tell people the truth. And because I was able to tell people the truth, you know, on social media like Twitter, people found my information, and most of my information was anti what the statists were saying. And President Bukele here in El Salvador actually reached out to my team and said, hey, look, you know, we don't understand why you have not been canceled, but we would like to come and talk to you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sat down with him, you know, in 21 and gave him 20 different things that he could decentralize his country on.
Yeah.
You know, most people, I think, even in the UK, know the story of Bitcoin and decentralization, but I don't think a lot of people know how you can use it in your own life. Like, for example, you two guys being young people, you don't have a book of business to yet work on, but you know that in the UK right now, you guys have 15,000 people who have been arrested for tweets.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Yeah, you're supposed to live in a free country. And, you know, I'm hoping that young guys like you begin to realize this and say, you know, I even in my education system, I was told that the UK is supposed to be free and open, but yet it's not. And then, you know, I just told you the story about Dr. Cortland. I want you guys to know this. Why? Because this guy was really working for his patients. And now he's been taken out because of this list. And your mom is explaining to me kind of what the DBS list really entails. It even goes down to, you know, where he can live and who can rent to him and things like that. And effectively, I think when you get a put on the list like this, basically what the government's saying to you is you need to flee and get out and do something
different. Great.
We'll El Salvador as soon as we can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's something that people in the UK need to start thinking about, that if your government can get away doing stuff like this on people that are trying to help the people, like what's going to happen when you guys grow up to be savages and you're sitting on a nice stack? That stack alone puts a target on your back.
Yeah, exactly.
Precisely.
And then you have to worry about, okay, you know, am I going to be guilty by association from this thing? What could my government, you know, do to me? And right now in the UK, who's controlling, you know, the strings of the wizard? It's, you know, party is tied to the Fabian movement. I don't even know if people in the UK really truly know about the Fabians that much.
I don't think so.
So, I mean, that's kind of who I am. I'm the guy that's stirring up the mix in centralized medicine in North America. I'm agent provocateur, but I would tell you, I'm also stealth. I do it in a way so that I can't be messed with. Yeah. And what I do now is I teach people things to keep them away from status programs in centralized medicine. That would be, you know, in your country, the NHS. Yeah. Pretty much anytime they come out with a decree, I'm going to teach you the decentralized approach to it. And then ultimately, you have a decision for informed consent where you can say, okay, I'm going to do this or I'm not going to do it. You know, what's the problem? So, like, one of the simple things that I can say to you guys as two UK kids is, you know, government over there sells the same message that's in the United States, which is, you know, the sun is toxic. Well, I'm going to be the guy to point out to you, there's a dermatologist in Edinburgh in Scotland at the 59th latitude who actually vehemently disagrees with that. He's got TED Talks about it. His name's Richard Weller. So that the savages that are on the UK, they can say, well, wait a minute, this is a guy that's in our system. He's definitely coming out against that narrative. Why is that not being talked about more, you know, by the people in the UK? And I'll explain to you the very simple reason why. If you block the sun, you become more controllable for the state. That means you're less like a Bitcoiner and more like a, you know, a coiner or a fiat scammer, you know, for the pound. And the bottom line is when you see that connection, then I believe people should be given both sides of the equation so that they can make a decision and inform consent about how you guys decide to live your life.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that will lead on to our first question in that what really got you into Bitcoin?
Jack Dorsey. Jack Dorsey is one of my friends and also one of the patients. And when he had problems, you guys know he was a cypherpunk. He used to own Twitter. He now owns Block was Square. He's a Bitcoin only. He doesn't do any at all. But his big thing is that he had a lot of medical problems related to the tech abuse. And then he started to use a lot of the stuff in decentralized medicine that I do. He got better. And then, you know, through his actions, you know, I started paying attention to Bitcoin. And you know, I wish I would have paid attention earlier so I would have jumped sooner.
Yeah.
I didn't. And, you know, like we always say in Bitcoin, the big cliche is you get Bitcoin at the price you deserve. But I would tell you that when I did something for him, he tried to do something for me. And, you know, when I sat down with him last, we had a meeting with a bunch of my members. And I asked him at the end of the meeting, I said, what can I do for you? And he said, look, I just want you to keep decentralizing the world. Keep doing what you're doing because it's going to continue to work slowly over time. And, you know, here I am, you know, 4 years later, talking to two teenagers about this, you know, one of the biggest prisons in the world.
Definitely is. So I think our next question will be, in your talks at, well, Bitcoin Prog and adopting Bitcoin, you described Bitcoin as a time machine. So, well, we save the profits from our business in Bitcoin because we see it as preserving future time from inflation. So how does that idea kind of connect to your work on time being the most valuable asset in biology and health?
Yeah, I would tell you that when you understand what mitochondria do, and this is a little bit of biology, and I know a lot of people who are in Bitcoin are not big into the science, but if you understand what mitochondria are, like the centralized opinion is that it's the powerhouse of the cell. Yeah. I'm going to tell you it's a little bit different than that. Mitochondria are an optical electronic sensor. So you know that Bitcoin runs on electricity, It turns out so does your mitochondria. So when you understand that basic fact, then you have to realize that how kind of value works. Like if you look at the way Bitcoin solved the Byzantine general solution, which was basically adding proof of work and time stamping, what do mitochondria do? Everybody who listens to this knows that life has a proof of work. Like if you don't go to work, you don't get money and your life is miserable. That's part of the proof of work that's built into nature. For example, make it simpler. Think about the Serengeti. If the lion does not eat the antelope, the lion dies.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the proof of work that's fundamental to nature. The proof of work that's fundamental to Bitcoin is the same. But here's the interesting part. People don't understand that mitochondria also have time stamping. And what's the time stamping mechanism that you young guys probably have heard? It's called the circadian mechanism. In other words, we have day and light. And if you understand anything about circadian biology controls mitochondrial biology. So yeah. What are the three factors that control circadian biology? Remember, it's not one. Everybody thinks it's light, especially when they hear me talk, but it's not. There's three factors that control it. It's light, darkness, and temperature. So that's what makes it decentralized, and that's what gives you time stamping. And when you understand that biology is time stamped, there's also a proof of work in it, then you go, wait a minute, Bitcoin and health, kind of the same idea.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You begin to realize that mitochondria really are time machines, because if you take good care of them and the heteroplasmy rate, which is the failure rate in the engine in you, if it goes down, you age faster. Like you could be 50 years old, but you're really 70 years old. Like the perfect example for your guys to think about, even though I know you probably don't listen to his music that much, Michael Jackson, he died at 50 years old.
I love Michael Jackson. I always listen to him.
Yeah, well, he died at 50 years old. And you have to realize the story that, you know, I share with you, like I told you the son before. Remember, he had vitiligo, then he bleached his skin. Then he wound up having to hire a doctor to give him drugs to have him sleep. So what do you see in his story? You see in his story that all the organ systems started to shut down. And you took somebody who's uber talented. You look at like his ability from the time he was 5 years old to the time he died. And you go, how could a guy like this, you know, burn like a blue star and burn out right away? Well, the story is, remember, he did a lot of his work at night. He did a lot of work, you know, around electrified instruments. He did a lot of things to ruin his circadian signal. And then he went to doctors that never helped him realize that. So what happened? He's 50 years old, but he was really like 80. And he gets taken out, and then you guys never have the opportunity to ever see him perform live. You know the story about him and things like that.
Yeah.
But that's actually how you lose time in biology. In Bitcoin, I think you guys probably do a good job of this because it's simpler. If your mom and dad go to work, they take their pounds, they save it in, if they save it in pounds or fiat, that money can be taken away. Really easily. Like, for example, if your parents own a house or your parents own some rental properties, how could it be taken away? They can put liens against those house and the government can take it away. In other words, the proof of work of your parents' work can be subtracted by statist belief. Why? Because the state is the power of violence. They have the power of the military. Well, when you put it in Bitcoin, that doesn't happen. In other words, you can take your time and value and it can travel across time and you can do different things with it. And why is this important for two guys like you? Because if you get your parents to really understand the ethos of what we're talking about now, that means that their value can be saved so that you two like are the seeds and then you can grow these trees, you know, behind us someplace where in a country that values your ability to be free savages, to, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, so that you don't get put in jail for a tweet, or get put in jail for a podcast, or you don't get put in jail for actually saying, hey, we're two young guys that are doing a Bitcoin company and we're saving in Bitcoin. That alone could get you in trouble in a place that's controlled by the Fabians in the UK. And it's not something that I know you guys want to think about, but to be honest with you, it's a conversation that's actually going on this morning here in this house, which is why coming on to talk with you guys, about this. It's not something, it's not a pleasant thing for you guys to have to think about, but I do think that the conversation needs to happen for young people like you, because you have a huge ability to finally break away from the statist form of money, which is really a form of control.
Yeah.
And it's become more controlled. And once you understand that you should have total freedom in how you decide to spend your money because you're doing the proof of work in the job that you have.
Yeah.
And ultimately, the way you save your money, whether it's in, say, Bitcoin, fiat, or gold, or silver, whatever, or houses, that actually is going to determine what the destiny of your future is.
Yeah. And
when you understand Bitcoin, you actually have open, like there's multiple different options open. I think when you save it, let's say in houses, like I think your parents are going through this right now. Like if they make a decision to pick up and leave the UK, there's huge implications because of the decision they made 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And they don't realize how that decision has tethered them to the statist programs. And here's the sad part. And I know you guys don't want to think about this, but this actually affects you guys. And remember, because you're the fruit of their loins, this actually has collateral effects for you.
Yeah.
But what have you done? You guys have started to make a business where you're saving in Bitcoin. So effectively, you guys are term life insurance for your parents' bad behavior.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I kind of like that.
Thank you.
I think that you need to share this with your parents so that they understand that you collectively are doing something that actually happened in your previous history. Like when we used to have, you know, no child labor laws in the UK, parents used to send their kids to go be chimney sweeps and work in the coal mines, and people thought that was horrible. But people don't realize that you two making Bitcoin right now is exactly the same thing, except you guys are not getting soot all over, you're not getting nasty, and you're not killing your health. You're actually doing something really beneficial to potentially help your family who can't get out of their own way because they're so addicted, you know, to the incentives in fiat life.
Yeah.
And I think the more younger people like you get involved and and stick your finger in their eye and say, look, just because you're older than us doesn't mean you're wiser than us, because we're the ones that have been addicted to this lifestyle and debt and you know, fractional reserve banking. I think wise parents can realize their children can actually still teach them a lesson. Why? Because you guys are the new group on the block that see how you're being constrained and you're doing something about it. You're doing something about it that your parents aren't doing about.
Yeah.
It's all about action, we feel.
Yeah, I think we just
taking steps in the right direction.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I have a famous saying from a TED talk that got banned. Ideation without execution leads to deletion, a very good idea. And it's the truth. If you don't execute on an idea and you keep procrastinating, guess what happens? The grape dies on the vine, and then you sit back in the chair and go, okay, what happened?
Exactly. So I have to take that.
You've moved away from centralized medicine towards decentralized health. And we see Bitcoin as a similar exit from centralized money, like a fractional reserve banking system, for example. So what parallels do you see between decentralized finance and decentralized medicine?
I think it's actually the same thing that you just said. I don't think there's any difference, because what it allows me to do, like remember when I signed up for medical school, it was to do no harm. You guys know about the Hippocratic Oath. The problem was when I spent my 35 years in medicine, I realized at every 5-year interval that that was propaganda of the Rockefeller medicine idea, because medicine was stolen from the world in 1911 from the Flexner Report. And then because that happened in the United States, that was basically globalized at scale through the rest of the Western world. And I mean, right now it's codified in the NHS, but that was done because Rockefeller controlled all big pharma. Why? Because when the United States took the Standard Oil Trust and broke it up, what did Rockefeller famously say to Congress? He goes, I'm going to figure out a way to bankrupt this country. So when they broke up Standard Oil, what was created in New Jersey?
Yeah.
In the state of New Jersey, all the waste products from Standard Oil products then was recycled into Big Pharma. And the Flexner Report effectively said, we're going to get rid of energy medicine and we're going to go to this model where there's a pill for every ill. And then the goal was to compete and keep doing the same thing that fractional reserve banking does, to make people realize that you're wholly compliant on a prescription pad.
Yeah.
So much so, like when you guys were little kids, if your mom went in and you had an earache, if she didn't get a prescription for amoxicillin, your mother would lose her mind and say, no, I need a prescription. And why? How was that codified? It was codified in the Daily Mail. It was codified in the Guardian. It was codified on TV programs that your parents watch. Why? Because they were taught, just like a USB upload, that this is how you're compliant. And how else did it happen? They made sure that you all went to government-run schools. In that schools, also the same thing was codified. So what happens, and this is how a Fabian works, you have to realize, small little changes, they get you to believe the bull. They keep compounding it. Next thing you know, after 50 years, you have, you know, a country like the UK where 65 million people are pretty much okay with the party line. And then when the party line changes and say, hey, look, we're going to let Africa and the world come into the UK, hey, we're cool with that too. We're just going to let everything happen, you know, that actually, you know, solves a problem for the government, but doesn't solve a problem for you two young guys. Because clearly, you know, that issue with them is not good for your future, but it's good for the government now. And basically what they're doing with these immigrants, and I have to tell you, the same thing that's going on in the UK is going on in the States, but I don't really think people understand what's going on. Since they can't actually turn MI6 and the Army and Navy directly and shoot you guys, just like they can't do that in the United States, they're using these people as a proxy to get to do the same thing, to make your life more miserable so that you comply with what the government wants.
Yeah.
Ultimately, at least in the United States, I can tell you what's really behind this for the leftists that are the Fabians in the United States. It's pretty simple. A point where we have civil war, and the civil war is designed to do one thing. The one thing the United States did really well with the help of you cats is we have these founding documents, you know, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. Most of you probably don't know U.S. history as well as you should as young guys. We basically told King George off, okay? And that was in 1774, 1775, and 1776. And when that happened, we made these founding documents. It turned out these founding documents were really, really good to keep the rules between the government and us. Yeah. When you guys went through your civil war in the U.K., you probably know this history better than most Americans, but I want you to remember something that's the difference. When Oliver Cromwell comes in and all that stuff happens, you guys blow up your documents, you write new documents, and that's actually what the government really wanted at that time. And what happened? If you go back and look at the Magna Carta compared to when Cromwell comes in, the rules of engagement were changed between the government and the British citizen, okay? The United States is trying to do the same thing. They want to blow up the U.S. Constitution. Why? Because it's really difficult to do certain things they want to do. For example, you guys are getting a digital euro. We can't get a CBDC. Why? Because our Fourth Amendment is a real problem for the state. So what's the goal? The goal is for Fabian, okay, let's make it left and right and let's blow it up. Let's them have them fight. So when they fight, we can get new documents and we can get rid of the bad shit we don't want in. And then everything go on the same way. Yeah. And when you understand this, then you understand why. Like, for example, your parents are dealing with some things in the UK. Like, why isn't owning rental property as good as it used to be? Why? Because the government came in and changed the rules again. So guess what?
Yeah.
That's a little change in your own life that mimics what happened when Cromwell came in with the government to be a bigger thing. And you have to realize anytime the government can take freedom and rights away, it's a problem when you're a Bitcoin savage. And one of the key, you know, I don't want you to think I forgot about your question because I'm coming back to the answer right now. When you own Bitcoin, actually you become immune to that ability. Why? Mm-hmm. You think about it. If you have enough Bitcoin and the Bitcoin's gone up, you can own the flat and you don't have a mortgage, and then you're not subject to the rules. And if you are, what you can do, if you own it, you can actually sell the property and be done with it. You don't have to worry about capital gains or capital losses. You don't have to deal with the system that they set up. That's the casino. That means they always win. Yeah. And then what happens from there? Then you get to decide to do, hey, do I want to go live in Barcelona? Do I want to go to Portugal? Do I want to go to the Canary Islands? Or do I just want to be a traveling Wilbury and go do my deal, you know, throughout the world until I find a place, you know, where there's an arc of freedom where I can put down, you know, my olive branches and do what I want. And, you know, I tell you guys this because that's the difference between America and the UK. We picked up our ball and left in 1774. But remember what happened. Americans left. I shouldn't say Brits left. For two reasons. They left for taxation and they wanted us to, you know, look at God a certain way. That's the fundamental tryst behind the American Revolution against King George. And then remember, what was the spark that lit the fuse? It was a 3% tax on tea. Now do a hard stop. In America right now, the richest people are paying 50% tax on their money. Think about where we've gone. 3% on tea alone.
Yeah.
Enough to leave. Now, the Americans, after 250 years, are okay sending 50% of their income to these idiots so they can send the money to NGOs to put us in jail everywhere else, which you guys have heard about in our country. So, what am I trying to tell you about the Fabian exposure, even in the United States? That this isn't just a UK problem. This is a global problem.
Yeah.
In each of our zip codes, or what you guys would call postal codes,
Story
is the same, but it rhymes to other countries. So what you have to do is, young people, the reason you have to get your parents to really get into Bitcoin, and you guys need to stay into Bitcoin, is because I believe the place where freedom is going to happen in your guys' life is going to be in a different place than the UK. Just like the reason no longer in the United States and I'm in El Salvador, because I have done my diagnosis and I think this is the best place for me to be a doctor, to continue to do and deliver the message of decentralization in medicine. Why? Because we never thought they would use medical tyranny as another path to take our freedoms away. But now we know they can and they will. And all really was a compliance test for a future economic reset that's coming, which is the reason why I think to see two young guys like you saving in Bitcoin, it makes me as an old dog pretty happy you guys are doing that.
Yeah, that's great. I think, okay, so now I'm gonna again go back into that biology. And so you emphasize the light water magnetism as the foundations of health. So again, how do these kind of ideas connect to Bitcoin's theme of, well, rather sovereignty and opting out of the broken system?
Well, the thing is, if you remember what I said to you earlier about everybody, I think, knows that Bitcoin works on proof of work tied to electricity. Electricity is a form of the electromagnetic spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Your countrymen actually discovered all that stuff, so you should be well-versed in that science. The big thing for me is when I started out, I had a person who gave me a book that was a fake book, meaning a fable. It was written by a guy named Robin Sharma, who you may know. It's called The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari.
I read
the book, you know, I read the book and I compared it to my life. And I'm like, there was a lot of parallels between, you know, Julian Battle, who was, you know, the muse in the book, and my life. And I started to think, if what was in the book was actually true, meaning it wasn't a fable. So I started to look at it. One of the first places I stopped was in SETI. SETI is the part of NASA here in the United States where they look for extraterrestrial life. And the reason why I started there is I said, well, what are the thermodynamic givens that are behind this problem? And I'll explain to you scientifically why I started there. It turned out that SETI looks at light, water, and magnetism as the basis when they put the Hubble telescope up looking for life in other places.
Yeah.
Well, who else solved a big problem in the world this way that, you know, your country, my country, and another country in Europe was tied to. Or at the turn of the century, there was two guys, Helmholtz and Hertz. They did some really cool experiments, and they found this thing called the ultraviolet catastrophe. They couldn't understand it. Nobody in physics could figure it out. So this young guy with funny hair who worked in a patent office in Bern, who was really into watching time with trains come in, started to take the thermodynamic givens of the ultraviolet catastrophe and write them down. And while he was sitting at work, he said, I think I know what the answer to the ultraviolet catastrophe is. And this is the crazy part of the story. Einstein never did an experiment in his life. This was a thought experiment in his head, okay? So what did he do? He said, given the thermodynamic givens of the ultraviolet catastrophe, the only answer that's possible is the photoelectric effect. Now, you guys know, you've probably heard your parents say this to you or your teacher say this to you, that most things in life are tied to Occam's razor. The simplest answer is the right. Well, there's nothing Occam's razor or parsimonious about the photoelectric effect. It says that light of a specific frequency interacts with electrons.
Mm-hmm.
That explains the ultraviolet catastrophe. It turns out UV light is the key to the photoelectric effect. In other words, if you use red light, green light, blue light, it doesn't work. But if you use ultraviolet light, it makes sense. And what happens? He writes the famous paper in 1905. He writes four of them, which I think you guys know. But the funny part is, out of the four miracle papers, the only one he gets the Nobel Prize for is in 1922. Here's the crazy part of the story that tells you just how bad science is. They make him wait 17 years. The United States government doesn't believe him, okay? Who proves that Einstein was right back in 1905, 1906, 1907? Guy from the UK, an astronomer named Alfred Eddington, who waited for a special eclipse to take photographs in Africa to prove the perihelion of Mercury really fell through the mathematics of Einstein. He did those photographs, they're in the London archives in your museum, beyond a shadow of a doubt that Einstein was correct. That was actually the experiment that proved Einstein correct. Did they still give him the Nobel Prize? The answer is no. So the American government hires this guy named George Millikan. George Millikan does really fancy experiments. The goal, his hypothesis when he started, prove Einstein wrong. What does he wind up doing? He proves Einstein right. They give him a Nobel Prize before they give it to Einstein.
Wow.
I want you to think about that for a minute.
Exactly.
How wrong is that? But you have to realize something. What am I teaching you about centralized science and Bitcoin? The same thing is going to happen in Bitcoin. People right now, you talked in the UK, they're going to tell you it's a Ponzi scheme. They're going to tell you it's this, it's going to be that.
Of course. Yeah.
You have to see the experiment. You want to know what the experiment is? U2 saving money to prove, when you guys are 35 and 40 years old, when you're richer than fuck, and all your mates are sitting in the bars drinking beer, and they're crying because, you know, storm ruined their life, you two are going to be like, do you understand that we were the experiment
of
Bitcoin? The people that were the early adopters will show the world that this is the way to go, and then the world goes from there. So there's always going to be a period of, you know, punctated evolution.
Yeah.
When you have a new idea that disrupts a system that's been in place.
Yeah. Like,
for example, fiat money, which is the Bank of England, it's been in place for 500 years. So you have to expect that there's going to be pushback, you know, on this stuff. So I would tell you, light, water, and magnetism is where it started for me. And I realized three things. And then I started to look at thermodynamics of life. Like, what, when you ask the big question, the real big question, I'm sure you guys have also asked your parents or your teachers, because you don't ever get a good answer. What is life? I asked that question after reading that book, and I began to realize that the answers that I started to find weren't the ones that I got from my mom, that I got from my teachers. I got in medical school, that I got in college, that even I got in residency. And I found out that of the three, light was the most important. And how did I fundamentally figure this out? And this is probably going to blow your mind a little bit, because I haven't really told anybody this on a podcast, but I looked at light first, and where I stopped was at photosynthesis. I said, well, I know when photosynthesis came in evolution, and you have to have photosynthesis because it's the basis of food webs.
Yeah.
Then I did a hard stop, and I asked the really difficult question. What about the two domains of life that were alive on Earth before photosynthesis? Like, most people don't realize this. Bacteria and archaea existed before photosynthesis was present. So you have to ask yourself this question. What was the power source of light then? So what did I do? I sat down, just like Einstein did. I said, what were the thermodynamic givens of Earth 4.6 billion years ago? So 4.6 billion years ago, we were on an anoxic planet filled with horrible atmosphere. But here's the big one. You guys know that we're protected now by an ozone layer.
Yeah,
ozone is made from oxygen, but I told you we had an anoxic planet. So what did that mean? Told me that the stimulus that had to power this was likely the sun, specifically UV light, because UV light really had a huge effect. So then you think about the two original domains of life, which is archaea and bacteria. What do you know about those bacteria when they're anoxic? Specifically, they can't use oxygen. UV light really hinders their growth. Okay. Yeah. So then you go, wait a minute. So this makes sense why life in those two domains had to be way below the surface, like by hydrothermal vents in the ocean or underneath the ground, because the light that was on the surface would kill them. So what was the stimulus for evolution to begin the way you guys learned it from Darwin? That means that you had to have a protectant from UV light. So what was the first thing that evolved on the planet? It was melanin. The thing that's in your skin, the thing that you know I talk about all the time.
Yeah.
So then I have this key question, because I told you a big answer here, that everybody who teaches you what is life, they always start right around the photosynthesis story. So in 1986, something happened that you guys probably know about but don't know a lot about. It was a nuclear accident in Ukraine in a place called Chernobyl. Nuclear meltdown. And they basically encased the whole thing in concrete. And they told, you know, your parents and me, no one could go to this place in Ukraine for 1,000 years because of the gamma radiation. So what happens about 40 years later? So we're now talking 5 years ago. They start to find deers and animal and birds and everything else is doing great in Chernobyl. There's no people there, but all the animals and life comes back. And then they publish this interesting paper that says we've sent robots in and we wanted to find out what's going on where the gamma radiation is. And what did they find? They found a fungus and a mushroom that was loaded with melanin that was creating energy so that life could persist. So when I saw that, I said, I think I just got the answer that I've been looking for my whole life.
Yeah.
So they coined a new term that you probably have never heard of. It's called radiosynthesis, where you turn light into energy, specifically electricity. And it turns out melanin does this. So the first thing that evolved, like how did we go from abiotic atoms on a periodic table to this? It turns out the sun spectrum did it with some of these bacteria, and they made these ancient melanins. Then what did I do? I went back through the archives and find out, when do we think melanin evolved on Earth? And guess what the answer was? 4.2 to 4 billion years ago. So what does that tell you? It tells me that it was present before photosynthesis. Then I looked in a lot of condensed matter physics journals. Why? Because melanin is a very interesting chemical to them. You may not know this, but the European Space Association and NASA are now looking to coat the ISS in synthetic melanin. Why? Because it turns out it's one of the best protectants from radiation for the astronauts, you know, especially if they're going to go to Mars. And most people don't know this, but melanin has some other interesting findings. And this is going to get to the key point. Melanin is also a chelator of metals. So what does that mean? It absorbs all frequencies of light from radio frequency up to gamma rays, but then it also chelates metal atoms, and the metal atoms it likes the best are transition metals on the periodic table, okay? There's a reason why they pick it likes that, and I'll tell you what it is. The answer is not biology, it's physics. It's the D-shell electrons interact with it. And then I started to look about stars, because I'm like, well, melanin is a story about light. I said, there's got to be some kind of tie here to stars. And, you know, you guys have some famous astronomers, guys that did some interesting things. And I looked at how supernovas happen. And I found out that when a star goes from hydrogen and burns through all of its fuel, it gets to iron. Iron's a transition metal, atomic number 26. Turns out that the microwaves that are emitted from the fusion process interact with the D-shell electrons and it blows up. And I was like, wait a minute. So this begins to make sense now why melanin's been on the planet, because the first thing it did is it protected life below, because there was no ozone layer, there was no oxygen. Yeah. So that was made it a protectant for life. Then it took the dirty chemistry that was in the oceans and it controlled the metal ions in there so that it could be used. Then it had another interesting thing. It charge separates water into hydrogen and oxygen, okay, so that it can make a lot of electrons. And then I started thinking about Einstein again. I'm like, wait a minute. If you make more electrons and you have UV light, you just talked about the photoelectric effect. All of a sudden, I started to see how the universal laws of physics, remember, this is not subject to a randomized controlled trial. I started to see how light was proximal in the whole story. And yeah. Melanin was the key, and immediately I looked at that monk who sold his Ferrari, and I said, I got it. I think the path in evolution was radiosynthesis first. That's how we went from abiotic periodic table to photosynthesis. And what was the big synthesis between 4.2 billion years and the great oxygenation event, which happens 3.5 billion years on Earth? Small little bacteria in the ocean began to create oxygen. And what happened? We went from 0% oxygen to 21% over about a 2.5 billion year period. And I realized that the inner mitochondrial membrane contains all the evolution from 4.2 to the Cambrian explosion. And this was the part of evolution that Darwin never talked about in his 1859 book, The Origin of Species. Why? Because if you really look at the name of that book, which I know you guys know, what I just described to you was the origin of life. And then that's when my life got really interesting. Yeah. That's when I started to put the story together, because why? You know that we are not built from the two domains of life. We're not bacteria. We're not archaea. We're eukaryotes. We come after the Cambrian explosion, and one of the things that happened in your country in the 19th century is we had a lot of people fighting with Darwin that he was wrong because, yeah. And the number one thing they used is the because, the Cambrian explosion and evolution showed that 32 phyla and life show up in the fossil record overnight. That doesn't sound like, you know, gradual mutations leading to life change. So you knew that Darwin may have explained evolution from the Cambrian explosion on, but he did a really job before the Cambrian explosion. And part of the reason why, not that I'm trying to pound on him too bad, but he had no way to know some of the stuff I just told you, because remember, they didn't have any nuclear accidents. They didn't know about radiosynthesis. They certainly didn't know too much about photosynthesis. And in his time, they also didn't know about endosymbiosis, which is when the bacteria and the archaea came together to make a mitochondria. And it turns out, what does a mitochondria effectively do when it's tied to the pathways that come later? It becomes an electronic optical sensor of the environment. And what is the pathway that controls its biology? It's called the leptin-melanocortin pathway. Oh, wait a minute. You heard that story about melanin. And it turns out melanin is a big deal. And why is it a big deal? Because melanin controls the metals that control the metabolism inside mm-hmm. of mitochondria. Mm-hmm. So what's the real story about mitochondria? It reverses the process of photosynthesis. So you guys learned in third grade that sunlight plus, you know, water create sugars. That's what photosynthesis is. Yeah. That's what trees do. What do the trees breathe out? They breathe out oxygen. We breathe in oxygen. And what do? We reverse the process. We create CO2 and we create water. So when you see this, you begin to go, so really what evolution did is it took dirty chemistry, first dirty UV light that would kill you, figured out a way to protect life. Then life started making oxygen. It had to protect itself from oxygen. So it creates photosynthesis. And then photosynthesis leads into mitochondrial biology. And all of a sudden, I had the whole answer that Darwin didn't have before the Cambrian explosion. Oh. And then, of course, what do? I look into the human blockchain. The human blockchain is you two guys. And I'm looking for a key pathway that would describe what happened from the Cambrian explosion to the last extinction event, which is when we lost the dinosaurs and mammals come. Because remember, we are mammals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I found a pathway that began in the eye called the leptin-melanocortin pathway. And this is a pathway, just so you know, I didn't learn about in medical school because leptin was discovered in 1994. Ah. I graduated medical school way before that.
Yeah.
This is like a new thing for me. So what did I do? Just like when you were in third grade and you heard something crazy, if you're not a, you go and ask questions. You sit down and go. If your parents can't answer it, then you go ask your teachers. If your teacher can't answer it, then they usually send you to the library and then you figure it out. So what did I do? I went back to the medical school library at Vanderbilt University with these questions in my mind that started from SETI, started from a fake book called The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari.
Yeah.
And I slowly laid out all the answers for decentralized medicine. Then what did I do? I wrote a quilt document, put 30 different levies in it. Why did I use levies? It wasn't because I'm a Led Zeppelin fan. It's control the system around New Orleans where I went to medical school.
Yeah.
I came up with 30 different places there. But what's the unifying string to the quilt document? It's the leptin-melanocortin pathway. Everything ties back to that. And why is this important for you guys to know? Because when you ask me the original question, how does this all link? You have to know the story of evolution, not just back to photosynthesis. You have to go back to the beginning and see Earth as we see Mars today, a dead planet with no life in it that needed to protect itself from the sun, which was the only source of energy. So why did I get stimulated by that ultraviolet catastrophe thing? Because that's exactly how Einstein did it. And I said to myself, if I'm going to be a good first principle thinker, I need to know the things that we know and put together what we don't know. And then whatever I find at the end of this 18 months, I need to start delivering it to people. And that's when a gastroenterologist at my hospital said, you know, you can't publish any of this stuff on a textbook because they won't let you. It's kind of like the same thing with you guys dealing with tweets now. You're not allowed to say what you want to say. So what did I do? I put it on the internet, which is decentralized Library of Alexandria. And I could see my idea. And people were like, wow, this is a doctor that's talking about things that are radically different than anybody anywhere else. And what did I do? I kept laying layers of this onion down so that you could see, am I really a crazy or maybe am I pretty wise to actually follow this path of first principle thinking to try to really answer the question, what is life?
Yeah.
So that's when I found out that life works on a DC electric current. A mitochondria is the optical electronic signal or sensor that allows us to do this. And the thing that's the most important software that controls that hardware is the leptin-melanocortin pathway. Mm-hmm. So I just described to you kind of the Bitcoin network in biology format. You may not realize it, but the hash rate is tied to the efficiency of the leptin melanocortin pathway. So in other words, if you lose melanin anywhere, you're in a big situation. So think about you guys. You're at the 52nd latitude being in London.
Yeah.
All of you are pale. Now, just so you know, I'm not getting on your cases because you're up there. Remember, my people, we're from Ireland. I'm even higher than you, 59. I'm at the same level that Scotland's at in Edinburgh. But now I live at the 13th latitude, and I still have the same type of freckled skin, just like a lot of people in the UK have.
So do I.
I'm able to actually build up the solar callus to raise my melanin so that as old, I can still think like I did when I was your guy's age.
Yeah.
Now, the reason for that is because of all the things that I buried in the quilt document, every blog that I've ever written, because I look at my blog as the Library of Alexandria for Decentralized Medicine.
Yeah.
It's like my LLM that will be left for you guys to figure out down the road. So hopefully, if you're really paying attention, the answer to your question is, I want you to realize how we work biologically. I want you to realize that you need to save a lot of Bitcoin, that you boys need to get to a place where you can build melanin in your skin and in your interiors, so that you truly become savages, and then you can control the rest of the world and get it away from the World Economic Forum or the Fabians, because you guys are the future. And my generation doesn't realize these connections. They don't have enough time to sit down and really study it. They know the bits and pieces. Like, they are downstream. Like, Bitcoin is downstream. Mitochondrial medicine is downstream. But I think when you understand what's upstream and you go, so this is the reason why Jack is a stickler about the sun. This is the reason why Jack is a stickler about water. This is the reason why he's a stickler about magnetism and teaching us all these crazy things. Eventually, when you get enough pieces of the puzzle,
you're
going to figure it out for yourself. And you're going to go, I don't need a teacher. I don't need my parents. I don't need anybody to tell me. All I need is a lot of Bitcoin and know that I got to That's it.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, you've said Bitcoiners need health to enjoy their wealth. So how does your evolutionary medicine approach help people extend lifespans to match the long-term financial thinking that we were just speaking about?
Well, I would tell you, I think, I'm going to tell you something. I think this is what your question just did. You fell into the fiat mistake. The longevity guys, which one of them just got named in the Epstein files, want you to believe that you can extend longevity. Let me tell you something. I don't think we can extend longevity with the system that we currently have. We have to drive evolution forward, which I don't think is happening in the modern environment because of the use of tech. In fact, tech is pushing us back to the GOE. So this is what I would tell you. Your question should really be, Jack, if we have an optical electronic sensor and we live in a world that's pushing us back in time because technology makes us hypoxic and takes UV light away from us, how do we thrive and survive in that environment? That's really the goal. And I told you the answer already, and you don't realize it. When you have money you can't f*** with, then you realize the best place for me to be in a tech world is inside the 20s, Capricorn and Cancer.
Yeah.
And then you guys decide what you want to do. Because you know what my goal is? My goal is not to make people live to 122 years old like Jean Calment did at the south of France.
Yeah.
My goal is for you guys to live what the actuarial tables in UK tell you. 81 years old, but not tethered to the doctor, not tethered to any prescriptions. I want you to fall off your roof, fixing it, break your hip, and die that way. Okay? So I think when we get the world right, and see, this is your guys' job, when we start teaching people how to use technology properly, I think then we can live routinely to 90, 100, 110, 120 years old. But I do not believe with the way the world is going with the transhumanist elites, because remember, they're trying to shove technology down our throat.
Yeah.
And you guys are on the front end of that because you know all of you are tech addicted.
Yeah.
Through my science, I think after I'm dead, when you guys really understand what I'm saying, you're going to be like, okay, we need to have a lot of oxygen. We need to have a lot of UV light because our optical electronic sensor operates on those things. So when you think about vaping, you think about smoking cigarettes, you start to go in right away. Well, wait a minute, that makes us hypoxic. That's really stupid to do. If you think about, I'll give you one for the UK. Okay, I'm going to Hyde Park. The sun is out, but I'm going to put all this all over my skin. Yeah, does that make any sense? Or you see all the fancy ladies down on, Broad Street wearing their Coco Chanel glasses. Like, you don't want to date a woman that doesn't understand that the sun is imperative not only to her health, but also the ovary that has the eggs that may become your future child. Why? Because I want you guys to understand the reason why most of your generation, the generation above you, either don't like sex anymore or are not having sex, and half of them are infertile, is because of the addiction of technology that you got from my transhumanist tech guys, which is Steve Jobs, Paul Allen, the Palantir boys, Elon Musk. Like, they're selling you this story that I want you to question. Like, just like I questioned after reading Soulless Ferrari, I want you guys to begin to ask that question. And do I think that you two, as teenagers, are wiser than sitting here talking to the lady over here with blonde hair who birthed one of you? Yeah, because you know what? She still doesn't realize how caught up she is in this mess. And she doesn't really understand, and I'll tell you the reason why, because the stuff that I just untangled for you guys about this evolution came to understand me from Bitcoin, not from the science side. She doesn't get the science side. And I will tell you that the Bitcoiners need to learn the science side so that they can live to 81 years old, so they can change. Right. So they can change the rules that everybody's being forced to live under right now. Mm. That's the key. And if you want to know the truth, I think the orange pill order of the day, the prescription I need you guys to do, I need you to realize that, because you have to self-correct what Elon Musk and Steve Jobs is ruining.
Yeah.
That's what we mean.
I think your Bitcoin and understanding that sunlight powers this whole program in you is the key to changing the world. Because, when people listen to me on other podcasts, I think sometimes, especially Bitcoiners, think it's like a doom loop and I'm bummed out by it, but I'm not. I'm actually pretty optimistic.
Yeah.
And talking to you guys make me more optimistic.
Thank you.
Because you are hungry for the information I'm giving you.
Yeah.
When your parents are sitting home, playing tiddlywinks and doing, doing nothing and just, wasting their life.
Yeah.
Going around the sun the same way, coming up with every excuse in the book instead of changing their life.
Yeah.
So you, their human blockchain, you are their AI.
Yeah.
You are going to have to teach them the lesson, just like Sir Alfred Eddington and Millikan taught the world that Einstein's idea was right. And I understand that it's a very unparsimonious way that humanity has to self-correct the human blockchain. But I think when you understand it and unravel it the way I've done on the biology side, you begin to see why I tell you that health and wealth are fundamentally linked. Because if I can keep you two savages with a functioning brain so that you make good decisions and you're not making low dopamine decisions or high dopamine decisions, then I think the future is good. Then I think people in the UK, Scotland, Italy, India, they have a chance. And we don't need a lot of you. We only need a small number of you, but a small number of you that think by first principle thinking.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we tried to orange pill as many people as we can. We already started on Finn's parents.
Well, my mom's a nurse, so she works for the...
She's kind of like... hopeless.
Yeah, precisely. We have agreements over the dinner table, but I believe with time and as things like this happen, she'll eventually realize the truths.
I think what you both should do is with your parents, and you should make both your parents sit down, watch this video back so that your parents get a lesson, because I don't think that adults really understand that they're their own worst problem.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to tell you, most of the people that I take care of, a lot of them, they look at the surface and they think, man, this guy is curmudgeon, he's gruff and this and that. Do you know why? I'm just like your parents. I have to smack the shit out of people to get them to realize how stupid they are. These two frontal lobes that you have in your head from evolution has allowed you to break every law of nature. And when you understand that you're breaking the laws of nature, you know, like I told you guys earlier, if you're sitting in a bar with pints with your buds and you're doing that too frequently, dude, you're destroying the leptin melanocortin pathway. How could you ever change the world when you're doing stupid shit?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
The issue is the same thing. If you have mates that you guys grew up with and or girlfriends that you guys grew up with, make sure you don't marry or get entangled with some person that is addicted to all these things that take oxygen and UV light away. Because if you do that, guess what you're fundamentally doing? You're saying, hey, I'm okay living a life of a B, C, or D when there's an A available for you.
Yeah.
Like, your parents are doing that right now. I'm going to tell you. I did that for the first 40 years of my life.
Yeah.
Now I don't do that anymore. Like, I'm not settling for less than I deserve. But you know what you're going to find when you really peel this onion back? When you're really a Bitcoiner and you're really into decentralized health, people are lazy. They don't realize that the choices are the best
thing. With us being so young and in this space, we've faced quite a lot of
We found a lot of that kind of...
Well, don't stop, though. I'm telling you, you guys are nice, but I want you to understand why I do what I do, why I have to do what I do, because I have a million doctors in the world telling your parents, telling your friends that centralized is the way to go. So I am the salmon that has to swim up the stream. I give two f- when anybody thinks. Why? Because not only am I smart, I can back up what I'm teaching you. I can back it up with papers and data to show you that I'm right. And then when you actually try, like you give crazy a try and you begin to get better, you go, what if I did more?
Yeah.
Could I get to savage range? Could I do even better than not? But what you guys have to realize, and this is why I'm telling you, you're both AI. You're half your mom, you're half your dad.
Yeah.
So you have parts from each one of them. Your parents don't realize this about you. You may have some good and bad parts from each one, but when those parts come together, you are able to reprogram your optical electronic sensors called your mitochondria to improve both parts of what they gave you. And they don't realize that. They just think you're a snotty-nosed little kid that crawled out of the vagina. They don't realize that you also could be an Einstein, that you could be a Michelangelo, that you could be, you know, a great chef in the world. They don't see that potential. They'll tell their friends they do. They'll tell you they do, but they treat you like you're my son. Just shut your pie hole. This is how I'm going to do it. And what I'm telling you, I don't want you to do that. I didn't do it with my parents. I can tell you the reason I became the doctor is because I listened to my parents. I said, if I listen to you two, I'm going to wind up as a poor kid growing up in New York City. I'm not doing this. I did everything almost opposite they told me to do. So I was a savage even before I figured this stuff out. And now I'm mad at myself as an old man because I didn't figure out Bitcoin or decentralized health before I was 40 years old.
Yeah.
So I'm madder than hell at myself. And I use that anger on people that I teach. Why? Because most of them need to be slapped out of the comfortable storm. Yeah.
Definitely. It's that kind of just that safety net that people just kind of go after. But they need to be like, just taken out of it and kind of realizing
that's
that
what you guys are doing in Bitcoin. I mean, you're doing the same thing.
It's all just to be a good employee, effectively.
Yeah.
That's really not what we want at all.
No.
No. And see, that's the point that I think that needs to resonate. I think there's a lot of people in your generation that this does resonate. They don't want to be an employee. They want to be the boss. But you have to realize, to be the boss, you also have to do the proof of work. Yeah. You actually have to do the time stamping. Like, if there's nothing worse than having a skill set that the world needs, and then you f*** it up by bad decisions. I mean, I can't tell you just how disappointing that is, especially to someone like me. Why? Because I feel like each life has a unlimited potential to do different things. And when I see people not reaching for the stars, because even if you don't get the stars, say you fall below, you're still really good.
Yeah.
And I would tell you guys, same thing. It's going to be hard for you to hear this, but you know you have friends around you. You got to treat them the same way. You got to have really high standards. The women friends in your life, high standards. Like, and don't compromise, because as soon as you compromise, you just settled for a B, a C, or a D.
Yeah.
Do not settle. And I'm going to tell you, when you buy Bitcoin, what are you effectively doing when it comes to money? You are not settling for money that's less than you deserve. Why? Because you guys know that money allows you to take your time and value and take it across space. That is why we Bitcoin. But I want you to understand why you need to become mitochondriacs, why you need to learn about that leptin melanocortin pathway, because guess what? It's the same story. That's why when I go to Prague, I tell people health and wealth are linked. And why are they my favorite Europeans? Because they used to be communists. Like, I don't have to teach the people in Prague like I have to teach the people in the UK.
Yeah.
Because if you've already been communist in a centralized situation, they already know how bad the situation is. Yeah, right now, happening in the United States, it's being taken over by the Fabians, and the people in America don't realize it. So if you really want to know why this Bitcoin savage isn't in the United States fundamentally, I don't like when people take my freedom away at any level. I'm not settling for a fucking B, C, or a D. Yeah, and you know what? I make no apologies. I don't care if your parents don't like the way I'm talking to them now or you. Why? Because I have more respect for you two than I do for them. But I also realize that they birthed you, and you guys now are doing something really amazing. You could actually teach them the biggest lesson of their life.
Yeah.
And I hope you continue to teach your friends, your teachers, anybody who you interact with. Do not let anybody come off your mission. Why? Because I look at you two as the young Jack Cruz. You're doing it in the Bitcoin side. When you figure out what you're going to do with your life, the same passion that you do with Bitcoin, do it with your profession. Do not sell.
Yeah. No, thank you. Yeah, we really appreciate that.
I mean, we are very passionate about our business.
We're
currently trying to orange pill one of our clients.
Yeah. Because he sees all the problems, especially in the UK, with even currency just and government and everything. And he's always complaining that he doesn't know that there is a solution. So we're just trying to orange pill him and get it through to him, because he realizes that it's wrong. But he doesn't.
And especially because
show him this podcast and say, look, just what he said. I don't know if it's a solution. Say, well, Einstein didn't know the solution to the ultraviolet catastrophe when he started. I'm going to tell you that Darwin didn't know the solution to life. He said origin of species. Origin of species starts 600 million years ago. The planet's 4.6 billion years old. You got a lot of territory to cover before that. I would tell you, there is a solution for that as well. Most people don't know what I actually told you, that the real solution is radiosynthesis, photosynthesis, and mitochondrial biology. So when you show them that, you know, we had the Magna Carta, we got the Bank of England, and now we got Bitcoin. And that's really radiosynthesis, photosynthesis, and mitochondrial biology, and they work on the same ideas of full decentralization, you start to go, well, maybe there is an answer, but maybe I just don't understand the answer yet. And maybe that's a bigger problem. And that's what you two guys are doing. Why? Because you effectively are that cat's teacher, whether he realizes it or not. And it's immaterial whether he realizes it. What you need to do is to continue on your journey. You guys continue to add more tools to your armamentarium so that you become more effective in how you teach. And that's really all you can do. And I would also tell you that this is probably a really important thing. Your parents probably won't like this, but when you teach, I want you to remember the rule of Satoshi, because this is really important. If you look in his emails, he said, if you don't understand it by now, I don't have time to explain it to you. If you put your proof of work in to people and they don't listen to you, they're telling you how they value your opinion.
Yeah.
You got to move on. In other words, there's 8 billion people you guys got to teach. You cannot waste your time on. Okay. You can tell them, you can show them, but you can't understand it for them. Yeah. And you know what? Put enough time in to do this. There is a time in your life. I don't care if it's your mother, your father, your girlfriend, your husband, your wife. You got to cut them. Okay. Because if you don't, you know what the story is like? The story is just like if you're in the North Sea, like say Clacton on the sea, and one of your mates is drowned and you go in the water.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know how to swim, but you do, and you're a great swimmer. But because he's such an idiot and he's fighting with you, you both drown.
Yeah.
Just remember something. You guys put a lot of proof of work into you doing what you're doing. The world needs you more than your friend does. Don't forget that. So there's going to be people in your life, your young life, and I can tell you this is a lesson that your parents will not teach you. I didn't get taught this from my parents. You know how I saw it? I saw it by watching my parents, realizing I don't want to be you. Yeah. I don't want to, or living in the richest city in the world, making the same mistakes you did. Because let me tell you something. There's going to be a lot of people in your life that you see that keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again. And they keep that victim mentality that the world is against them. You know, the real problem is you buy those people a mirror and tell them, look in it. You're the
That's definitely true.
And so, your parents, the same way.
Oh, yeah.
If they don't get it.
Yeah.
The next 5, 6, 7 Christmases, buy them mirrors.
Yeah.
And then if they do get it, then you buy them the book, Sun Tzu's book, The Art of War.
Yeah.
And the single most important lesson in that book, if you want to beat the enemy, you become the enemy. You start thinking like the enemy. I want you to start thinking like a Fabian. What would a Fabian do? What would the Bank of England do to control 65 million people? All of a sudden, then everything that's happening in current events in the UK will begin to make sense to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely.
So I think I get this is kind of with all of that. But for Gen Z specifically, so obviously, as you were saying, we're all on like our phones and devices like constantly. And obviously that's a non-SVM app, so that's bad.
Even with school, like
even school.
In all of our lessons, we have a massive 70-inch screen. That's
you need to know how to combat that.
Yeah, that's
why I will tell you, the more tech you use, the more seafood you need to eat. Okay. The more tech you use, the more sun you need to get. The more tech you use, the more grounding you need to do. So I'm trying to make this proof. Okay. You tell all your friends those three things. Now, if they want to know the physics behind it, then they need to make enough money and pay me $5 a month and I'll teach them on Patreon. But if they just follow those rules and they do it consistently and they realize that they have to pay attention to light cycles, like when the sun comes up, you're awake. When the sun sets, you go to bed.
Yeah.
You're not going out to bars. You're not going out to drinking. You're not going out to smoking. You're not picking up women that are out in those bars. Why? Because they're not the people that you want to have babies with. Got it? It's that simple. Now, it sounds harsh, but if you don't screw this up, okay?
Yeah.
Your life will be spectacular.
Yeah.
And obviously, the other key thing is you go get an app where you can buy Bitcoin every minute.
Yeah.
Every minute. I don't care. Yeah. Like if your grandmother gives you, I don't know, 20 pounds for your birthday, you make sure 18 of those pounds go into Bitcoin and 2 pounds go into a pint for your birthday. That's it.
Yeah.
So what would you say is the single most important habit to adopt today, specifically tailored for Gen Z, if it had to be one?
Well, the number one thing for the biology, we'll do two, one for the finance and the biology. The number one thing for biology, 80% Pareto's principle. Mm-hmm. If you want to get to be a savage by the time your guy's hair turns my color, don't miss the sunrise. Okay.
Yeah.
On the finance side, it's what I told you. Any last little bit of money. Like when I was a kid, we used to save quarters, nickels, pennies. If I would have had a vehicle like Bitcoin at that time, and my parents would have told me, you need to save in this. This is how you make your phone useful. You now have devices like in the States and El Salvador, we have Strike app. You know, guys know about Jack Ballers, but you can program into your phone. The money comes directly from your fiat bank. You buy Bitcoin every day and then you put it in cold storage. You can set it up to every second, every minute, every hour. You get to pick how much money goes in. So what does that do? It takes the power away from you. I call it the Hawthorne effect. I'll explain it to you guys because I don't think you know what the Hawthorne effect is. But you can look it up and your people can look it up. When I get a lady come to see me who's, you know, 400 pounds and she says, hey, I want to fit into a size 4 bathing suit. The first thing I tell her to do is go buy a bikini and hang it on the back of your door. Okay? I want you to see it every day. I want your fat ass to see it every single day so you get it. So what does the Strike app do? When you start to see that $5 going in every minute, and you start to see the stack go up and you go, so I am capable of saving even when I'm not. So you know what that means? When you go out with your buddies, you're not going out with chicks that convince you to spend money on superfluous. You're not going to smoke with them. You're not going to go buy a bottle of vodka. You're not going to go vaping. You know, you're going to figure out a way to get to the Metallica concert a different way than everybody else does.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? In other words, the more you save when you're younger, the less you have to deal with when you're older. You want to know the truth about your parents right now? This is going to be a hard reality check for them. Because they f***ed this up, they now have to do more. They're now on the deck of the Titanic, and they can't make any f***ing mistakes. You guys can still f*** up and still win big.
Yeah.
And that is a story of time. You have more of it than they do, and you value it more than they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You need to understand that. That's the lesson they don't know. So when their 18-year-old comes home and said, Mom, did you really need to go out and buy another car or another house or another Alfred or another Louis Vuitton? Or, hey, Dad, did you need to have, you know, the best belt? Did you need to go and take all your buds out to the bar last night? Did you need to have a golf membership at the local club when, you know, we're struggling with you working until you're 70 years old and not home teaching us the things that we need to learn? Yeah, you need to smack them in the face.
Yeah.
All the time. And when you guys laugh, you notice I'm not laughing. There's a lesson for you. I'm serious. I am as serious as a heart attack. That is the way to change the world. People don't like to realize they're the cause of their own problems.
Yeah.
You need to be that mirror for them. Your best friends, you know who your best friends are? When your life's falling apart, they're walking in, but they're telling you the truth. And you hate the truth because it reflects on your decision tree.
Yeah.
That's the key. So the reason you're struggling with your parents right now, they can't fathom that the people that crawled out of their vaginas or their scrotums are smarter than they are about time.
Yeah.
You are. Because remember, you're already saving in money that's better than the money they save.
Yeah, definitely. But what would your, we know what our answer is, but what is your advice on Gen Z and people who are like 17, 18 coming at the end of like college and are thinking about like going off to university? Would you say they should, or they should kind of find a job or something?
This is a really good question because I think this will shock some of the parents that hear it. I went through this, just so you know, with my nurse's son. Mm-hmm. And I went through it also with my kid. If you would have asked me this question 20 years ago, I would have said to you, you have to go to college. You have to do this. You have to do that. The reality is you don't have to do any of that. I'm going to tell you, the only reason you need a university is if you're going to be in a STEMI kind of issue. Like say, if you want to be a doctor, you want to be an engineer, or say you want to be a scientist, then I think you need university. But for just about anything else, you don't. If you want to know the truth, I think for your generation, the number one thing that I think is going to be a growth industry, and this is very counterintuitive to your parents, Mm-hmm. You guys need to go and become hard laborers. I want you to learn how to be a cobbler, how to be a plumber, how to be an electrician. Because let me tell you something. If you're in the world that I'm in now, these people are getting paid huge amounts of money. Humans, especially your parents, they don't even know how to dress an animal. Like yeah. if the world ends tomorrow, they're going to be fighting for Vienna sausages, you know, at the local grocery store. You guys need to learn how to do things. That means how to build a house, how to fix a car. Your parents can't do any of that. They yeah. don't know how to hunt. So what I'm saying to you is the trades are the place to go, because I don't know how it is in England, but I can tell you, United States, the last time one of my broke, it cost me $300 an hour to pay a plumber to come to my house. Well, I got news to you. That's pretty yeah. good money. And yeah. anybody yeah. who talks about a plumber or an electrician, wait till your AC goes out or wait till you have no power in your house. Yeah. You'll pay this whatever it takes to get it. Yeah. And same thing with people that build floors, the people that are stonemasons. You know, you have a mom that's an artist. I want you to, when you walk around Europe, to go look at some of the things they did. There's nobody left that can do the stonework that was done in the past. Yeah. Don't make that mistake. For young guys, you need to go back and learn something that the last two generations forgot. And I have to tell you, that list is all. Mm. Like, people don't read books. You guys said it yourself. Buy books. When you learn calculus, have the first generation of Newton's book in a leather bound on your wall. And you say to your kids, you want to learn this? Read the book. Don't read the iPad. Don't read yeah. the computer.
Yeah.
You know, you guys probably know the story of one of my old members who started Blue Blocking Company. It's the same thing. The Blue Blocking Company was kind of like a trade. So I want you to think about different trades you could do. Like, for example, say you do want to be an architect. How about you guys teach people how to build houses the right way instead of the modern way, the fiat way? You know, yeah. teach people about shielding their wives. Teach people about using stone. Your mom just found something that I'm doing here in El Salvador. I'm putting volcanic stone on the outside of a house to protect you from EMF from Elon Musk. Well, guess what? What if you're the cat that learns how to do that? Because I know you're both in the UK. When you go out to Canterbury or you go out, you know, somewhere else, you're going to see houses that have stone on it. How come all the houses in central London don't have that? Because they're all fiat houses built by the Bank of England to selling it to a bunch of that don't know that they're being radiated constantly by Piccadilly Circle.
Yeah.
Got it? Yeah. If you actually do things to help people, even without them knowing it, you know what's going to happen? Mm. They're going to seek you out. They're going to say, hey, I'd like you to, I'll pay you $100,000 to put a slate roof on my house versus shingles.
Yeah.
And guess what? There's nobody in London right now that knows how to do slate roofs.
Yeah. That's true.
That's what I would do. I'm not kidding you. And it pains me to admit this because I'm a huge believer in education. I have one son that's an engineer, and then I have another daughter who is not using education. Now, she's still trying to figure out what she's doing, but she's in a trade right now. And I famously told my son this 10 years ago, and he's still mad at me. I said, I think your sister could be more successful than you if your sister makes the right decision.
Yeah.
Guess what I told her the right decision is? To move to El Salvador and start her business here straight and not be tethered to, you know, someone in the United States who owns her.
Very true.
So guess what? When you're a tradesman, what does that physically mean right off the bat? It means that you're working for yourself and you're nobody's bitch. That's the first key thing.
Yeah.
And when you realize it's really hard to get in on the Bank of England, it's hard to become a Fabian. It's hard to have that network. You're going to need university for that if that's what you really want. But let me tell you something. If you understand Bitcoin, the faster you can get on the street making money and YOLO into Bitcoin, the less you'll be like your parents.
Yeah, very true, yeah.
So that's what I would tell Gen Z.
Okay.
Make your money fast. Make no apologies. If you have to leave your job every year to get bonus money, do it.
Yeah.
You stick your eye in the man.
Yeah,
definitely. Do not play their game. Play your own game. Run your own race. Be authentic. And make no apologies. When people ask you, why won't you work here for me 2 or 3 years? Say, well, because you keep paying me like a farm animal. I'm not doing that. Yeah. I need more money so I can buy more Bitcoin.
Yeah, very true.
I mean, that's why we sort of started our business.
Yeah, it's just so we can get that fiat to get
the Bitcoin. Guess what? If you guys already know that information, start telling your friends that. Like, don't make apologies about it. Don't be nice.
No,
I know that your parents want you to be nice, but you're going to find the one thing you don't have compared to me is 60 years of experience. When you find out that people are lazy fundamentally, that they need to be heavily motivated, they need to be treated with tough love. Guess what happens? Once they learn the lessons, that's when you don't have to work. Then they become like the rhinoceros. I don't have to teach the rhinoceros quantum physics.
Yeah.
Why? The rhinoceros knows what it needs to do every day.
Yeah.
The problem is modern humans are zoo animals. And when they're zoo animals, you need to remind them why they're a zoo animal.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I mean, well, Finn works with someone and he lived in his car for a whole year to stack sats.
I love it. I probably couldn't do that, but do I love it as a young guy? The answer is yes.
You go
because
to gym.
That will pay off for that guy down the road.
He got a gym membership, so he could obviously brush his teeth, remain sanitary. But apart from that, he was just working.
Smart. See, he was thinking. It's smart. Like some people would say, well, why would you waste gym membership? Guess what? He's doing the right thing. It's like coming up with Uber. Why do I need to own a car when I can just get a car when I need it? He says, why do I need a house when I can just use a gym to do it?
Exactly. Like,
some people won't see the wisdom in that. But if you understand Bitcoin's on sale right now, anytime Bitcoin's below $1 million, it's on sale. So guess what? It makes way more sense instead of you going and having a drink with your friends at the sats.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, if somebody tells you, hey, I'd like to have a pitcher, you know, then you turn around and say, well, my mom will make you that pitcher. She's going to charge you this much. And then you're the broker. You get a cut on that. You put that shit in your Bitcoin.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything you can do to make some scratch.
Yeah.
That means that you're not going to have to work when you're 60 years old and you can sit under the trees like me with gray hair.
Teaching
young people the same thing about the story of the seed and how the seed looks at its life as destructive, but eventually becomes a tree.
Yeah.
Where you guys are now. I'm telling you, you can absorb more destruction in your life. You can do things that your family would scratch their head and go, I just don't get this.
Yeah.
But remember, if you want to tether this to Bitcoin, you will win. If you tether it to fiat, if you tether it to partying, if you tether it to your friends that are Fruit Loops.
Yeah, exactly. Going on to a different topic now, you mentioned setting up the Citadel Alliance with Edwin Rivas. What exactly is the Citadel Alliance? Is it like a network of retreats? Mm-hmm. Is it a community alliance for Bitcoiners and health optimizers? Or is it something more like broad, kind of like decentralized living hubs? And what inspired it and what's kind of the vision on that?
Well, it got inspired yesterday because Edwin told me about it when we were out at my place in Costa del Sol. But if you guys have listened to any of my podcasts, like the first time this came up was when I did a podcast with Marty Bent. And I said that Bitcoin doesn't have a border, that Bitcoiners are really citizens in a country that's not defined by a border. It's defined by a mindset of decentralization. So Edwin comes up with the idea with one of his friends that we should take these Citadel ideas. Why? Because Citadels are going to be different in each country. Like the way you guys build your Citadel will be different than how I do it in the United States or how I do it in El Salvador. But what's the thing that ties us together? That we have a mission statement and we have like a constitutional document that defines really what decentralized living is all about. And it's kind of, if you really want to know, the Alliance is a group of like-minded people that are coming together to understand why health and wealth are fundamentally linked. And it's really the whole first hour and a half of this podcast. If you want to know the ethos behind it is for people to realize that time is the most valuable asset and that you need to maximize your health and maximize your wealth in order to buy time.
Mm-hmm.
And when you buy time, you do things. We live by principles that allows us to always put time in our bank account.
Yeah.
And you know, when I say time, it's time that you spend with people that you care about, mm-hmm. time with people who get the ethos behind it.
Yeah.
This is where it gets tough again. It's not spending time with people who don't get it. Why? Because negative people are the energy vampires. They actively take Bitcoin out of your pocket. They take, I hate to say this, but they take time out of your life as well.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the Citadel Alliance is basically an idea to show people the true benefits of decentralized living, like what it was like to be a savage living on the ancient roads of Rome in a building where you didn't eat, your family didn't eat, if you didn't go to work and do some type of trade,
yeah,
something back into the village square of the people. In other words, if you're the cobbler who made the shoes that allowed them to walk on that ancient road, then you did something useful for society. You were decentralized so that when you came to my restaurant, I would have a hot bowl of soup ready for you.
Yeah.
In other words, you're paying it forward with your tribe. We're building community, tribe. We're actually disconnecting from the centralized fiat system. In fact, it's kind of what I told you about your parents. When, if they don't realize this, if there's enough of us out there that builds this lifestyle and we codify these ideas, you guys will be able to say, hey, mom, dad, look at what Edwin Rivas or look what Jack Cruz are doing in their zip codes. Why aren't we doing it here?
How did you connect with Edwin Rivas and the Rivas family?
He's probably one of the biggest Bitcoiners here in El Salvador. His family was big into tech and big into the movie business here. Now they're rebranding into hospitality.
Nice.
So the reason we sat down yesterday is he is trying to figure out how to make hospitality decentralized. So about that. That would be really interesting for you guys to think about. Like, you think about one of the nicest facilities in London, like, say, you know, a hotel. When you walk into that hotel, as soon as you walk in, you're like, there's nothing good about this. It's inside. They got, LED lights all around us. They've got shitty electromagnetic fields. They got Lutron shades. Edwin is trying to figure out, how do we do this differently? He's actually getting ready to go where you guys are, to Europe, to see how the ancients used to build buildings, like how they used Roman and Greek architecture, but also how they used concrete differently there, how we build things. Like, you guys know, since you're European, that your history and culture has been laid out. And I think what we're saying to your generation is, Edwin is, he's a young guy. He's like 30, 35. So he's way younger than me. But I think it's ironic that someone like me and him are bonded on this, because we look at it that your generation has been born into the dark ages. So this is the dark ages that you learned about in school. And what happened? The dark ages ended when the Renaissance came. What did the Renaissance painters all paint in their artwork? They use light. We're doing the same thing. What's the light today? The light today is decentralized health and decentralized money.
Yeah.
So we believe if we can build communities, build houses, build village squares like it used to be in Europe, and recapitulate, put artisans around the square that are all doing things for society in general, that we can take away what's happened in modern cities. Like, you guys look at London, you go out there, basically, it's like a miniature Abu Dhabi. And what did Abu Dhabi do? You have a bunch of Muslim Arabs that found oil and decided to build this huge thing like New York City in the desert to show their wealth off. But it turns out, civil engineering-wise, these things are bad for the human blockchain. Like, it makes nice postcards, it makes nice Instagram things, but is it good for the people that live there? The answer is no. And if you think about some of the places you guys have probably been in old Europe, like if you go to the Med and you see Siena on the side, built on the side of the Rock Mountains, you don't see any big, huge stories there. You don't see like the you know, the Ferris wheel you have in London. You don't see that shit. What do you see? You see buildings made out of rock where people lived on it that stuck their fishing poles in the water. They went on wooden boats and everybody got along and everybody lived until they were 80, 90 years old without a doctor. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
That's our ethos. That's what we want. No, maybe you don't have TikTok. Maybe you decide not to do that. Can you still live that way? And I still think have some of the things that you kids are growing up with. Can you use technology wisely? The answer is yes. And I think the Citadel Alliance is a way for people to get their heads around how we are changing the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In an appropriate way. So that way, when you guys sit down with your parents, you actually have something you can show them and say, look, this is what we think the future should be like. It's not the future you built for us.
No.
All you have to do is walk outside in central London and look at what's happened.
Yeah. That's really impressive.
Yeah. I'm excited to see.
Yeah, very excited to see how.
Well, don't be excited. When the Citadel Alliance comes out, join.
We will.
You guys join and then you start doing your own thing. Get like-minded people together and say, look, we're going to build a community somewhere. If you guys decide to stay in the UK, then build something like this so that you can make a go of it. And, you know, then all your friends can turn into the masons that will build this town square.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good idea.
Just make sure you all take Bitcoin when you do it.
Yeah. That's the key component of it all. So could you tell us more about this retreat you're building in Atami for Bitcoiners, and how does it compare to the one you're building for the mitochondriacs?
Yeah, the one I have to be honest here, I think both of them can be for each other, because remember what I told you in this podcast, that health and wealth are linked. So my idea after the last week is probably to give people the opportunity to go to both places to see the different sides. The thing that's happening in Bitcoin here in El Salvador, the biggest complaint we get from Bitcoiners is that it's too expensive. The amenities that are here are not up to their snuff and their standards. Yeah. They would like it improved, and they would also like to stay for longer than, say, a vacation. Like a lot of people would like to stay for, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 months. Can we build that in to the model? So that's the basic idea behind the place at Atami, that you'll be able to get good value. Like, you're not going to have to spend $800 a night to stay at a place like this. You'll be able to rent it for a month. It'd be reasonable to a rental like you'd have back at home. And if you have mates that want to come and say you want to work on your own business project you're doing, you can do that. And you can spend 3, 4, 5 months in a place to get inspired. You know, to do that. It's kind of like, you know, when a rock band wants to get inspired, they go off to a place to write and do things like that. Well, it's the same thing. We hear what Bitcoiners are saying. So we're thinking about that. And then the place in Costa del Sol is really built with health in mind. It is built as a town square. The center of the square has a pool that's shaped like a fish. And it's got all volcanic rocks around it. So you immediately are grounded.
Yeah.
And then there's coconut trees, lychee trees, cashew trees, lime trees, mango trees. Why? Because that's the story of photosynthesis that we talked about earlier. So I want people to know that you can be sustained there. And then all the buildings look like a building you guys would see in Santorini or Mykonos. Mm. They're all white. All volcanic stone that have EMF protection in it. All the power inside is protected in shielded cables and things like that.
Yeah.
It's designed for you to be outside. The walls that we have also are rocked, but we have these really big walls that we're going to hang tropical flowers on. Why? Because guys may not know this, but EMF from the outside can be blocked by, you know, trees and luscious garden. And that's like one of the things that England's pretty good at. They're really big into their English gardens, but I don't think you guys realize that if you use the gardens and you use nature well, you can actually protect yourself. And it's set up like a square where all the people will live on the outside, but where they congregate will be in the center. And there'll be like shared places to have dinner. Why? Because we think one of the big things that people are missing is kind of like what we're doing now. Like, you know, your friends, when you go out, you guys are, you know, doing this when you're sitting across from each other. I think one of the things that humanity has lost is sitting down at dinner or sitting in a restaurant and talking to each other. So I think that someday, if I ever do a restaurant concept, I think I'm going to have a Faraday bag at the door and say, you put your phones in it, because I want you to interact, like kind of like we're doing now, even though we have a screen between us. I think there's a benefit for us coming together and realize that if you really want, you know, the decentralized alliance to work that we're talking about, that we need to do this together. You need to get your hands dirty and spend time with each other. And I think when you see what we're building, you know, like, for example, your mom got to see it yesterday when it was built, and she just looked at it and she goes, man, I really understand. And then she also got the opportunity to go up to the volcano where Edwin has got his place. Now, his place is ridiculously bigger than mine. What was he doing? He was asking me for opinions about how I would do it up there. Why? He had no idea that I was building my little citadel down in Costa del Sol, but on a small scale that's based around this idea of kind of how the French Quarter is in the United States, which it's called Vieux Carré, which is the old square, which is based around an old European idea where people will come to congregate, you know, together. And I think that's one of the things that technology has ruined. It's brought us inside, away from the sun, in front of a screen. And I want people to know that they can use like Angie and Kata's, you know, blue tablet, you know, that we helped them get out there. It's called Daylight Computer. And you can use that in bright, you know, sun. You can actually go to the ocean. We actually have the ocean and we have an estuary right there. Like, in other words, we're bringing you to nature. We're making it really hard for you to stay a zoo human.
Yeah, and both places.
Because of what we started this podcast with, I want Bitcoiners to understand they need more of the mitochondriac lifestyle, and then the mitochondriac lifestyle needs more of people in Bitcoin. Like, if you want to have a really nice place like this, you need to YOLO into Bitcoin so that you'll be able to afford it. Because I hate to say this to you guys, but, you know, for you to buy a place like this down the road, I don't think you're going to be able to do it unless you have Bitcoin.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, unless you're going into the somehow get a very, very well-paying job. It's not looking attainable for the average person.
Yeah, but even the being paid in fiat.
Well,
but I mean, I think though, if you are in a trade, like I told you before, remember, my plumber, my electrician makes $250 an hour.
Yeah.
The plumber makes $300 an hour. That's not bad money.
No.
You can make good money if you're working for yourself and you have a trade that people need. And if you think about it, no one in London is building houses that's EMF, you know, graded. You guys figure out how to do this. Dude, you can print money. The thing is, you're not going to want to print money because you're going to tell people, look, we're going to be a Bitcoin-only decentralized citadel, and all the masons that are going to work on your house, we believe this. That's why we're building this kind of community. In other words, you're becoming the change that you want to see in the world. That's really the story.
Yeah.
I mean, for the community, what opportunities might there be for collaboration, investment, or participation in the Citadel Alliance?
I think it's unlimited. I mean, to be honest with you, we're right in the beginning now. We don't even know how it's going to...
Yeah.
So do I think the opportunity is unlimited? Do I think, you know, we need to open it up? Do we need to talk about it on podcasts? Yeah. I mean, Edwin and I just had the original conversation yesterday.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had this conversation with somebody else who's a Bitcoiner. So he's going to go back and talk to them and see how we do it. I've already had the discussion with Marty Ben. I've had it with Parker Lewis.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people out there. Even to a certain degree, to Jack Dorsey and Jack Maulers, Rick Rubin, I just don't know if they would see it, you know, that way. I think if you actually think about it, I think the treasury company's idea is a little bit tied to this, except they ruined it. They made it more like Abu Dhabi. And I think what they need to do is make it more tied to the ethos of time first, then Bitcoin and value. Why? Because that's the fundamental link to health. Like, what good are you to anybody if you're not good enough for yourself? And that's really the underpinning of these alliances. And what we want to do is we want to create an arc so that the right animals who have the right message get it. And I think the more of those people that we put together, we become an unstoppable force. It's like a boulder at the top of a mountain that gains momentum as it comes down. And, you know, to start this, it takes a lot of guys to push the boulder to get rolling. But the interesting thing is, once the boulder gets rolling, it doesn't take that much, which is why I told you, I don't think we need a lot of people to have this mindset. I think we just need the right people that understand truly what decentralization in their life fundamentally means. It means that you're prioritizing yourself, you're prioritizing freedom, you're prioritizing decentralized money, and you're looking to take care of your family in the way that you see fit based on first principle decentralized thinking.
Well, I think the big takeaway from all of this is that Bitcoin preserves the economic time, but biology preserves lived time.
Yeah. And of course, listeners can explore more of your work at jackcruz.com and your amazing books on quantum biology.
So we really appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much for being a part of the Orange Pill Order.
All right. No problem. It was a pleasure doing this with you guys.
Yeah.
Make sure you stack some sats. The price is down. Yeah. To go all in.
Oh, yeah. So stack health, stack sats, and keep hodling.
Of course.
You got it.